A boundless reservoir. My name is Chris Norris, and good afternoon. We are a little bit later today on this Thursday, January the 9th. Got to do a little bit of early driving this morning and then just watch some of the ceremony for President Carter. You know, anytime that you are in a observation of a situation of, like, for instance, with a funeral service, and in regard to where President Carter, how he served this nation, and of course, you know, seeing the other presidents there at the service today on the television. No disrespect to the Carter family. Our prayers and condolences go out to them. But, you know, it is a reminder of, even in the midst of man's greatness and the things that maybe he is esteemed as accomplishing in his life, there is a finality. Now, of course, as one of the ministers spoke of President Carter and said to the effect that his spirit would live on, I would say there are some truths to that to a certain degree. You know, there are the memories that I'm sure his family has and people that he had relationship with, and in those occasions to where, you know, it's those memories that we hold on to, just as any person does that has had a loved one, a family member, friend, you know, come to a place to where no longer that they're alive. And so, therefore, we remember the occasions again that we had. And we're thankful for those times. But I just think that with, again, the magnitude of greatness that's equated with the president and the position of the president, not to say that I'm disrespecting President Carter, by no means am I saying that. I think it puts things into perspective in reference to where we stand before God, and even in the midst of whatever titles or names that we may associate with ourselves, at the end of the day, we are man. We are God's creation. So that was kind of the thing that pulled at my thought process. Again, no disrespect for President Carter, for his life. Just, I think the emphasis for me was is that it's good to know. It's good to know and to trust in the fact that even in the loss of life, that there is hope. James, I mean, we read out of James yesterday, but James describes that life is like a vapor. You know, it's here today and it's gone tomorrow. I mean, we all could say that the time that we have is short. We have today, and so we make the most of the day that we have, or at least we try to do that and to honor God with our life. I think it's evident again to see that we have these experiences of interacting with people throughout, and to see how their life was, you know, transformed to a way that they succeeded. And then for them as individuals, how maybe they even had some great effect on us or other people. And I would say for President Carter, there was a great effect that he had. And so, you know, thinking of all the years of his life of 100 years, that's a long time, 100 years old, to live a life like that. So, again, just kind of in that thought process and where things landed today for me as I watched that service on TV. Another thing, too, just I'm sure all of you are aware of the situation that's going on out on the west side of California with the fires. I know there's been a lot of news coverage there, but pray for those people if you have time to take a moment and pray for those that have been, again, just affected by that as well, and how they're dealing and coping with that situation. A lot of loss of property and houses and so on. So, yeah, our hearts and prayers go out to those in California facing the wildfires. And then we just got notification from the school that our kids go to that apparently they're going to be giving them a half a day for tomorrow with the weather that's coming. So I'm sure that our children will be excited to hear that news, considering that, you know, they were anticipating maybe not having to go to school at all or something. But anyway, that's on the docket as well. But for today, I did want to share a passage out of the book of Galatians in the New Testament. I always was told by our New Testament professor, if you have trouble remembering these letters, you could say in the New Testament it's Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, and Colossians. He always would say General Electric Power Company. I guess that was something that kind of stuck with me. But anyway, for us, we'll be looking at Galatians 6, and I was wanting to read here out of verse 1 and following. It says, "Brethren, even if anyone is caught in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, each one looking to yourself, so that you too will not be tempted." Excuse me. "Bear one another's burdens, and therefore fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But each one must examine his own work, and then he will have reason for boasting in regard to himself alone and not in regard to another. For each one will bear his own load. The one who is taught the word is to share all good things with the one who teaches him. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, this he will also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption, but the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. Let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we will reap if we do not grow weary. So then, while we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, and especially to those who are of the household of the faith. See with what large letters I am writing to you with my own hand." I think when we look at God's word and we see the evidence of what Paul is describing here, in essence of bearing one another's burdens, excuse me, I think a lot of times that in of itself of saying that, you know, when you say that I am going to bear the burdens of others, that can be very time consuming. It can be difficult. It can be painful. There can be some confusion of, you know, doing that whole process of being there for another individual. And in any sense, I mean, I would say that in those moments of life where we have an opportunity to share with another person our time or resources, however that looks, and, you know, helping an individual get through something. So, like, I mean, we were talking at the very beginning of this about, you know, funerals and loss of life and what's before us now. And there have been many times where, you know, I've had friends or family, and you may have also, and in that moment, you don't really know what to say. You know, you don't know, because you don't really know how that person is dealing with that loss. I mean, we all kind of handle those things in a different way, form, or fashion. And so many times it's just best if you could just be there, you know. So, you know, showing up for receiving of friends, or just being there for that individual in that time that they're facing. And I think, you know, that makes a mark in the sense that you actually took the time to come and bear that burden with another individual. And then, you know, ultimately that it's not so much that you're, and it may not even be the fact of a loss of life. It may just be simply going and checking on somebody, or calling them, or sending them a text message, or however that looks, you know, being there for someone can always make the journey in of that point of where a person may be a little bit easier to navigate through, knowing that they have someone there with them, you know, someone there that they just may need to talk to. They may not even need you to say anything. So I think just the evidence proves itself in how Christ lived his life. You know, Jesus basically, he met people's needs. You know, in this passage in Galatians, I mean, it basically says, bear one another's burdens in verse 2, and therefore fulfill the law of Christ. You know, so sometimes just being there for people, it can just be an awesome thing. I think that's so true with how, again, when Jesus lived on this earth and he was in the flesh and he dwelt among us, and just being there with people and coming alongside them, not judging them, just a very sincere heart because of the passion that he had for them to have eternal life. And I think that's the motivation, right? Is that when we look at people in the eternal realm and not from a temporal sense. Now that's a lot to talk through, I know, but going back to what I said earlier, you know, here you have a funeral service for a former president, and you've got these other presidents sitting there. And of course, they have their differences, right? We would know that that's, to some degree, you know, it's you know, they're being civil and respectful in the moment. But that presses in to what is it that we, you know, we live our life for a lot of things, and we say a lot of things, and people do a lot of things, and maybe even those men have said and done a lot of things, and the women there, vice president. What I'm getting at is the emphasis of, you know, what matters. What is it that matters in the moment right now? We see that a life is lost, you know, or deceased. So taking the time to pay the respects towards that life, because life is precious. And I think when we come to grips with that on maybe a daily basis, maybe we put those selfish ambitions to the side. Maybe we put those things that, you know, pull at us in a lot of different ways to maybe strive to accomplish something for ourselves instead of for our fellow man. You know, I don't think Jesus operated that way. I think he always considered others before himself. And that's a challenge. That's a challenge for me. I'm saying that to myself. I'm not implying that I'm, you know, perfect in that, by no means. But when Galatians speaks about bearing these burdens and fulfilling the law of Christ, I mean, I think it's important for us to consider the implication that this has for us, especially if we have made a proclamation of, or a profession rather, of faith in Christ, and we say that we follow his commands and we follow the Bible and we follow after these things that he himself displayed while on this earth. I think it's something that we should really dwell upon from the mindset of how is it that we associate ourselves with bearing those burdens with others. And not even that, but he goes on to say, but especially those of the household of faith and the people in the church. You know, we would say, man, there's some crazy people in my church, amen? Just like in your family. Your family's dysfunctional. My family's dysfunctional. You know, we have some crazy people, and that we would probably maybe even be identified as being crazy. But in the end, you know, the truth is that coming alongside those individuals and being sincere in whatever it is that they're dealing with, you know, whatever it is that they may be facing at that time. And a lot of that is compassion, you know. I remember I had a dear friend of mine that said the greatest thing that you can do in ministry, and you hold on to this word, is show compassion. And I think that has pressed into my heart more as I have, you know, aged a little bit. Maybe not so much when I was younger, but, you know, I sense that there is a desire within to fulfill that in which Christ has placed within me, and how he has been compassionate many times, and his example of compassion throughout the pages of the Bible. And so, you know, the other you know, point for us to really think about comes out of verse 8. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption, but the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. Verse 9, let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we will reap if we do not grow weary. You know, sometimes we would say, you know, I don't want to do the right thing. I don't want to do what's good. And again, especially dealing with people that you're coming alongside of, people that sometimes can make you angry, they can say things, you know, and here you are investing yourself in these people. But I think what we're being reminded from this passage is that it's not up to us to change the individual in either way, for good or bad. I mean, God is the one that's in control. And so, therefore, our responsibility is to be faithful, to be doing what he's called us to do. And that is to bear those burdens and to do good unto all people. And then he goes on again in verse 10, and he says, especially to the household of faith. So it's not so much the point of consideration for us to get caught up with, well, things don't always seem to go, you know, the way that I had anticipated by, you know, treating or acting or doing a certain way when we look at maybe even the interactions with other people. Because sometimes people are just mean. That's just the truth of it. But, you know, we have to continue to strive to do good and to do the right thing and to live that life that God has given us, and to, as the Bible says, to sow towards those eternal truths, not for the temporal. Because if we get consumed with the temporal things of this flesh and, you know, get caught up with just making ourselves happy, maybe, you know, finding that identity and who we are and being okay with that, and that's all. And if it, you know, offends or bothers someone else, then that's on them. As long as I'm at peace and I'm happy, that's what matters, you know. And that's sad that sometimes that's what's being said. But, you know, in essence of how God has allowed us to experience salvation through His Son Jesus Christ, again, it makes us come back to that realization that others need to have relationship with Him. And so instead of just looking at our life and dealing with people that maybe either are a bother or a frustration, however it is that, again, that it comes in towards us, I think that the focal point for us would be is to consider being faithful to the call that we have to do good, to sow, you know, to sow those seeds of love, of kindness, of mercy, of compassion, to sow that in our daily life. And again, I'm preaching to myself here, you know, because so many times we want to do the retaliation that comes up within us because of either frustration of dealing with those people around us that may be even in our church or in our family, however that may look. But our responsibility, again, we have to be pulled back to doing what God has called us to do, to sow good seed. And I think that there will be a harvest one day. I think that there will be true fruits from what we've done if we've hold fast to that. I mean, God's word again tells us, let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we will reap if we do not grow weary. And there's a lot of truth to that. So consider maybe in the days to come to bear those burdens, to show that compassion, to do good even in the midst of when times hit you to where you maybe don't want to do good or act kind towards one another, what God has called us to, and especially to the household of faith, to our brothers and sisters in Christ. And so as we do this and as we live a life that's faithful to this call that God has placed in His Word for us to observe and to take guidance from, let us take hope in that. Let us take hope and pleasure in doing good for the cause of Christ. A boundless reservoir. My name is Chris Norris, and I look forward to speaking again with you soon.